Hello to all of our listeners. My name is Mary Rankin. I'm the Director of Sustainability for Iowa State University and also the Sustainability Coordinator for the City of Ames. It's so wonderful to join all of our listeners for this Earth Day appreciation segment of our day-long broadcast, celebrating Earth Day, Earth Month, all the wonderful things happening related to sustainability across our community and most definitely on the Iowa State University campus. And I'm so excited to be joined by our guests for our next discussion section. I am joined today by IODG Olawalana, who listeners have heard many times. He is recycling coordinator and also special events coordinator at Iowa State University. I'm also joined by Katie Baumgarn, who is our classroom scheduling specialist here at Iowa State University. Dan Neubauer is an associate teaching professor of industrial design at Iowa State. And we also have Michael Lance, who is a student in industrial design at Iowa State. Welcome to all of you, and thank you for joining me. And let's jump into our discussion. For any listener joining us today, when I mention the word plexiglass divider, an image immediately comes to mind, and you all know exactly what I am talking about. So each of us may have a little different image. However, due to precautions of the past year related to COVID-19, an image does certainly come to mind. Katie, as classroom scheduling specialist at Iowa State University, tell us about what the phrase plexiglass divider has come to mean for you and what image woke you up very late one night.
Thank you, Mary. It's great to be with you today to talk about this little nightmare that I had. We didn't use much plexiglass in the general university classrooms that our office is responsible for, but I know a lot of departments and colleges did incorporate plexiglass for a safety measure within their teaching labs and research labs, et cetera. And one night I thought, oh my goodness, what is going to happen to all of that plexiglass when we are past this pandemic? Is it just going to all be thrown into the landfill? And I knew it would not be something that would break down and would just be an awful thing to have thrown into the landfill. And so that's when I thought, who could help me with this? Oh, my friend Mary. And so that's when I reached out to you, and that's how this entire plexiglass ball, if you will, started rolling.
Indeed. And it did begin rolling. And as we started putting numbers together, the collective group of us said, oh my goodness, certainly a lot of material to manage. And really is for every university, it's for every business, it's for every community. I mean, across Iowa, across the nation, across the world, these items have become commonplace in order for us to get through these most unprecedented times. So plexiglass looks like plastic. So can't we just recycle it?
Thanks, Mary. Unfortunately, no. It's a very special kind of plastic. And, you know, since the pandemic broke, this has been used a lot. And, you know, unfortunately, there is really no enough recycling opportunity, this type of acyclic material. So I can understand why Katie is kind of having that nightmare of, okay, with no recycling option, all of this is going to end up in the landfill. So started thinking about, you know, what are the other alternatives and what are the other reuse opportunities that we can explore, which actually.
Yes, I think that, you know, when we really started putting numbers into place, we were coming up with hundreds of these that we were going to have to find an outlet for. And pretty quickly, in not having those viable recycling options available, I think that was a big aha moment for a lot of us. We had to get creative. We had to start looking into other options. And Dan, this is what led me to connect to you. Being an associate professor in industrial design, listeners may remember your name from last year because we actually talked to you and some of your students about a really impressive and relevant project that you were doing related to collaborating with ISU Police and assisting them in a social sustainability project related to designing more functional options for uniform and equipment needs. And that was such a great discussion, talking so vividly about this connection to social sustainability. And here we are again with an item that is so very connected, so vividly, so relevantly to social sustainability. Dan, can you tell the listeners a little bit about our conversation about plexiglass? Maybe your initial reaction of, oh my goodness. But then how we really came to say, this is a good fit. Let's try it again.
Yeah, exactly. Industrial design, I primarily teach our studio courses, but I also teach a materials and manufacturing processes course for our students within the college and in the Department of Industrial Design. And so when Mary reached out to me initially and brought up this idea, I mean, this wasn't something I had even really kind of registered yet. This was early last fall, right when these went up. And so that kind of foresight was really impressive. So thank you, Katie, for thinking about that. But what made it so unique and as a good opportunity for industrial design is this is a really challenging problem. And we kind of excel at that. We like to take a look at the people side of design problems just as much as the material side of the problem. And this very much so had both of those elements. In early conversations with Mary in the sustainability department on campus, we quickly realized that this material is not only charged socially because of the pandemic, but that it is such a hard material traditionally to recycle. So it really gave our students a challenge to start to think about ways to approach this material that they could upcycle it or reuse it or reconstitute it into multiple scenarios and solutions and new problems and challenges. And for being a professor and being able to offer my students that kind of challenge and real world problem that they have, that they're in front of every single day, whether they go to the grocery store or order food on campus or pay their parking tickets on campus, those plexiglass or acrylic barriers are there, whether they see them or acknowledge them. My students now had to think about that and had to think about, well, yeah, they're there now, but what are we going to do with them afterwards? And so that was a really open-ended design brief for them, but it allowed them to experiment and, like I said, upcycle, reconstitute, not necessarily recycle into the perfect, pristine acrylic or plexiglass that, you know, you would hope, but give it a new spin or a new life. So it was a very unique opportunity and fun challenge.
So much so. And I know we initially sort of talked about what collaboration could happen. But then as we started talking more, really, you know, considering the connection, the relevancy, how this material touches all of us every single day, and what it has come to represent in this most unprecedented year, differently from other years, and how being a part of the solution to go on the other side of this really was such a unique opportunity for these students. And you mentioned a little bit about, you know, what the brief looked like. Can you talk a little bit about, so to satisfy the brief, and I know we're going to, you know, let Micah talk about this as well, but to satisfy the brief, what were sort of those expectations, those steps that students really had to make sure they got through, and what was the expected deliverable from this?
Yeah, so I guess I can just talk a little bit about the project as a whole, kind of the timeline. We started out with some early research, and the research as far as that was concerned was we were given a list from IO of the known barriers that were installed by facilities planning and management, but that doesn't necessarily account for all the others that were installed by individual faculty or individual departments that didn't source it through FP&M. And so we wanted to have a better and more clear picture of how much material was out there just on campus. And so what was really interesting, because we were in a hybrid studio of half in person and half remote, is we were able to use a collaborative whiteboard space and put the campus map on the internet, basically, or on a web browser page, and have students kind of mark out where they were going to go on campus to look. And that was the first part of it, was to look and find new, unknown to FP&M or facilities planning and management barriers that we could use as material, whether they would be taken down in the future or if they break. Because throughout this, we did realize through the sustainability department that some locations on campus were actually considering maintaining and keeping those barriers in place after the need for them had dissipated. But that doesn't solve what if they get cracked or broken or whatnot. And so that was another thing to identify, is that, you know, we need to know what's out there just so that in case they do break, we have a plan for them. But after that initial research, it was doing contextual observations. I sent my students out not only to look and see where these barriers were, but also to start thinking and talking with people as they felt comfortable with, well, what kind of needs might there be on campus? What kind of challenges have people faced in the last year? Or what kind of remembrance might they want of this last year, of this shared endeavor that we've all gone through? And what kind of problems did we all face? There was definitely this loss of connectivity and loss of community. Yes, it was facilitated and helpful to have Zoom and whatnot, but you know, you all, Zoom fatigue is a real word now, right? And we didn't, that wasn't even in our vocabulary a year and a half ago, right? So there's new things that came up because of the pandemic. There were opportunities for future thinking of what to do with this material that could bring people together. Or I left my students to be with their own creative freedoms within this. You know, we had people that would embrace the idea of that these were dividers at one point, and to stay true to that and treat that with the same kind of acknowledgement and provenance of a material and call attention to that. And then we have some students that wanted to look past that and bring, make this more about bringing people together. After this, we had these clear dividers or masks and all the like. So that was where we most fun about this is the research was great to give us an opportunity space, identify how much material we had, but then the ideation, the problem solving, once we've identified an opportunity, the experimentation, the and then the challenges that the material itself, because of its own material properties that make it hard to recycle, that pose with these specific challenges. Students kind of rose up and did lots of experiments, both material and visual, with what this could look like and what this material could do or be, and many conversations about the nature of this material, both in its original production, but also now that this is a reclaimed material and how we treat that with respect or move past it. So we did the project for 8 weeks of the semester. And there was a few weeks there that was primarily left just for ideation and refinement. We had Mary and the sustainability team and IO, Katie, join us for a review session where they got to see some in-process material, which was exciting for them and exciting for the students and helpful to kind of take a look at what could be done or what questions or stones weren't looked at. And then we had our final reveal and presentation of the concepts. And so now we've kind of moved on to still needed to think about future steps of we've got all these fantastic concepts and ideas that have been refined and made and have plans and budgets attached to them as to what it costs to make them or upcycle. But we need to make that decision as to what to do with it now when we do have the material. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at. And it's been an exciting ride.
Yeah, that's great. And it has been an exciting ride, I know, for all of us. And also Shelley Codner, we should mention, with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, Iowa Waste Exchange Program, also assisted the students in finding some materials and giving some feedback and those sorts of things too, which is makes it really the statewide connection, you know, helps to make that extra reach out. So Micah, you were one of the students that took on this challenge. First of all, can you introduce yourself to our listeners here? Mention your hometown and what year you are at Iowa State.
Yeah, thanks, Mary. Yeah, so my name is Micah Lance. I am an industrial designer here at Iowa State from a small town called Litton, Iowa, northwest Iowa, just by Carroll Fort Dodge area. And yeah, I'm a senior. Theoretically, it's my fourth year. I was an agricultural engineer for 2 years, and I switched majors to industrial design beginning of my junior year. So I'll have a fifth year coming up, but it's been a good switch for sure.
That's great. This has been fun for us. And I'm always curious as to the students, when you first heard about this opportunity, what initially was your reaction?
I was actually kind of excited. I think a lot of work was kind of cut out into like what we need to do with this. There's also a lot of free rein of like thinking of ideas. It's kind of restricted. As a designer, the more restrictions you have, the harder it is your creativity to flow. But with some guidelines, but it was still pretty broad what to do with the project, a lot of different ideas. But it was very nice to have some kind of restrictions, like you know the material you have to make it out of. So like that was your restriction. And then anything to think about from there on was this full your ideation, your own creativity. So that was really helpful, which getting excited about something to do is actually really encouraging as a designer, so you put a lot of effort towards it.
And so talking about putting a lot of effort, I know you did with your concept. Can you talk a little bit about your concept? Describe it to our listeners who can't see it on camera, but and how you feel it really hits the brief.
Yeah, so with my ideation, I came down to the employee, which is AKA Iowa State. What would they want to support, put money behind, put resources behind to make this ideation or this idea work? So I went about asking students some very various questions about what they thought could be used more often, like marker boards, storage devices or units, trash cans. I got a lot of feedback from about 100 students in a survey out to, and they all replied more marker boards. And as an engineer myself for 2 years, I kind of wish there was more marker boards throughout campus. That sparked my interest to pursue that route. That was my final project, was called a porta board. I got it down to, that was my final initiation. But moving forward, I was thinking, how can you make this marker board better than a regular marker board? Some things to change it up to, and let's see if we can make that work. It's a marker board. I have 3 different sizes. One's about 9 by 7 inches, one's 10 by 8, and the last one was 14 by 18. So call one like the mini, the regular, and then the industrial size one. The idea behind making 3 different sizes was, one was a mini one that people liked the, after I made my models, a lot of people enjoy the small size one to make a list, to-do list on it, do quick math, but also wasn't like big and bulky for desk space. And other people like the regular size because they can throw in their backpack on the to-go if they need to take the class or take it to a study session to have that utilization in your backpack. And other people like the big size to utilize in those classroom settings, possibly in the future. And this porta board, on this marker board, it had also 2 stands. On one stand that you can take up that would stand the board pretty vertical. So if you write an equation down or write some kind of problem statement, you can set it up on your desk so it won't take up as much desk space. You can also utilize that visual as well. And also there's another small take stand towards the top that would flip up. That would prop the porta board up to also you're not hunching over. I remember when I was using a lot of portable marker boards on campus as an engineer, I was always hunching over. And as a lefty, I'm smearing more often. And I learned by adding that extra kickstand, it prevented me from smearing. And also I had better posture using the marker board itself. And a lot of users agreed with that too. A lot of good feedback, which was really very, very helpful to move forward ideation and push certain designs further than the other ones.
Yeah, I think you bring up so many interesting points related to how this product, obviously, you know, you need to consider functionality, you need to consider affordability, you need to consider transferability and how it matches all of those. And I know just in having various discussions with you, you really, you know, you went out, you talked to the potential end users, you got their feedback, you made refinements. And I think we saw that through a lot of the student projects as well. And this whole idea of a portable whiteboard, basically, for our listeners who aren't necessarily maybe calling them portable marker boards, I hadn't even really thought of this as being a portable option, but it is so popular and it's so relevant, especially in seeing Micah's design. And so there were so many great designs. Katie and Io, I wondered if you could just share like your favorite designs that came out. How about you first, Io?
Thanks, Mary. One thing that stood out for me out of all of us, for you probably being a young dad of 2 young boys, it's the acyclic paperboard that, you know, you can always slide in paper or tracing paper in between it. And, you know, it's very mobile. The kids can put it on their laps, take it wherever they want to take it and just have fun with that. So that really stood, you know, out for me because it's going to make life so easy for some of us parents and those young folks. So one thing I really love about it is that, you know, it just helps the child, you know, really enjoy a bigger screen, not just having paper on the table. It's just more or less like that tablet, you know, and all that. So they're learning and they're mobile, you know, this idea is also sustainable. So that was really a great idea for, you know, that, you know, for with the students coming up with this option.
Yeah, I think that was a really fun one too. Katie, what stuck out for you?
Well, I was really excited with Micah's presentation because I was going into this whole thing thinking, oh, we'll just make more bigger whiteboards to have in our classrooms and labs, etc. But I really, really like the portable whiteboard idea. But the other one that kind of stuck out for me was the home office organizer, ways to set your monitors up higher and give you more workspace on your desk. And there were so many creative ideas that these students came up with. It's hard to whittle it down to one or two that's a favorite. It's exciting to see the creativity that came out of the class and that the students came up with. But yeah, right now I'm feeling like I need an organizer, so I need to reach out to those students.
I agree, Katie. So many great ideas. And I think it was, you know, the diversity. That's why I love the open-ended brief that you provided, Dan, because there was so much diversity of functional items related to students' everyday lives, related to maybe students' families, also related to the environment students are finding themselves in now, working remotely, you know, having these offices, you know, at home. And then there was some really creative thought to things like, what do we already use on campus that is made of plexiglass material that we could maybe create from these used plexiglass pieces? And that came into museum case, you know, displays for artwork. It came into sign holders that, you know, would affix to walls to protect posters or signage and those sorts of things. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Dan, making things that really connected us. And so there were class rings that were created from plexiglass for all of the students that graduated during this most unprecedented year, as well as artwork pieces where everyone could go and just put their artwork down that really allowed them to communicate what this year had meant for them. And then that being actually a piece of art, you know, that would adorn other places. So much creativity. I would just say a couple of reflections. Obviously, we're not done with this project yet. We're still looking at those refinements, and then we will all gather and have discussions on how to move forward. You know, what does that look like, and how do we offer these products that these students have put so much impressive and creative work into? Dan, as you reflect back on what we've done this past year, what is so significant for you about this project?
I think one of my favorite things that happened with this project was in the very beginning. And part of the reason I was so excited about this is because of the open-endedness of the brief. Micah talked about designers having lots of restrictions in front of them is prohibitive to creative thought. But when you also give new learning designers such open-ended design brief, a similar thing kind of happens. And there's so many options, you don't know what to do. And so having this material-based design brief that was just so open-ended and let them put their own feelings and beliefs and experiences of school, pandemic life, and beyond into the project was really what was so impactful for me. Yes, I was excited in the beginning about it because, you know, we usually give students pretty defined project spaces to work in, and then they have to choose the material that best fits the solution. But this way was backwards. This was, here's a material, you tell me the problem that this fits for. And that's why you have such wide variety between each of the students' designs. And I think that was probably the most impactful and most enjoyable part for me.
I noticed too, as we went through the project more and more, for me, and I know it had to be the same for the students, is it really sort of brought about this healing effect, right? Of all that we have been through and being able to go through the experience of us being able to sort of be in control of this on the other end of the plexiglass, so to speak. And that was very significant. And I think the students really brought that forward in their projects. Micah, as you look career-wise, how is this project significant for you? How will you carry it forward?
Yeah, project was like, I know, the mindset I had that was really helpful was like the business opportunity, I think, or whatever, with that. Think about Iowa State, if they're investing time or money into this project, they're going to do something that means, is it possible? Like also, like Iowa State is in general thinks about business and then education pretty hand in hand. So like that encouraged me to understand like my future employer more often, or customers, if I would be designing something, to understand like what their needs and wants. So that was very encouraging to like just attack that area well. I was kind of think, how can I serve my customer or my or the people we're trying to serve to their interest? So taking that on too. Also, there's a lot of things I had setbacks with. So learning just to be more efficient with certain things in my project, to produce more models quickly, more efficiently, was a huge learning experience for sure. And that's what you're here for at college, is to learn. So just kind of getting through a lot of things to like, oh, I did not do that again. That would be really beneficial with my career moving forward to to have the failures here. I'm not getting paid for them here. I am paying for them. So that's very convenient to do that for myself. But yeah, that was a huge encouragement. Dan's done a good job of kind of shepherding to push me and my ideations further to say, okay, that's cool. Like, what about this? So that's also very encouraging to have a good professor who can just motivate you and encourage you really well to be better and just go outside your comfort zone a little more often than saying like, okay, this is good enough. So that was also very encouraging as well.
Yeah, I think you really summed that up effectively, not only related to what we at Iowa State hope our students take, but also the important building blocks for a sustainable future. You know, you've got to be creative. You certainly have to be responsive, resilient. You look for those opportunities to make that difference. And that most definitely sounds like what you have done and obviously what all of your classmates have done through this as well. I want to thank all of my guests. What a wonderful discussion. So relevant, so timely, so inspiring, so impressive and exhilarating. Thank you to IODG Olawalanam. Thank you to Micah Lance, Dan Neubauer, Katie Baumgarn, all from Iowa State University, all talking about this unique opportunity to rethink plexiglass at our university and throughout communities around the world. Thank you all and have a wonderful day and happy Earth Month to you.